supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Looks like there's a chance of light showers in the forecast later this week. Let's get details with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, showers? Drizzle?
We're actually talking about micrometeorites coming into the Earth's atmosphere to become meteors. This is the landed meteor shower time of the year. Always November 15th through November 20, the shower peaks on the 18th, and the micrometeoroids are the product of dust and detritus melting out of the nucleus of a particular comet, Comet Temple-Tuttle. This is an interesting meteor shower because it has a reputation as being a very intense shower with lots of meteors to be seen. The unfortunate thing about it is that that's that kind of shower activity for this one happens only about every 33 to 35 years or so. There's this very, very intense shower. The last time this happened was in 2002 when 3,000 meteors per hour were visible. I remember being out that evening and being able to still see meteors in the pre-dawn sky during morning twilight. It was amazing. But the typical rate for these particular meteors is very low, only about 15 per hour, which is 5 per hour above the normal standard background rate of 10 per hour. The real issue is, how do you tell them apart from any other regular sporadic meteor? You'd have to trace the trail of the meteor back along its path as you see it streak across the sky, hoping to identify an origination point somewhere near the constellation Leo the Lion. Hence the name Leonid meteors, or Leonid meteors, because it seems to emanate from the constellation Leo.
Now, how does that rate compare with, say, the Geminid or Perseid meteor shower?
Well, the Leonid meteor shower actually is very, very low on the totem pole, generally speaking. It's one of the weakest showers of the sky. There are weaker showers, yes, down to about 5 per hour even, but still recognized as being, integrated meteor showers. Yet for something like the Perseid shower of August, in which we can see anywhere from maybe 70 to 100 per hour, and the Geminid meteor shower of December, which is well up above 100 per hour, we can see that the Leonid shower really doesn't hold much of a candle to the other main ones of the year, of which there are actually only two.
Well, let's move on to some planets then visible tonight.
Venus, the brightest one of the planets that we can see in the evening sky at any time, is low in the southwestern sky and easily visible after sunset. Mars, which is over to the left of Venus, is still hanging well in the southern sky and looks really great. Anytime you look at the planet Mars, you can readily think that there are at least three active rovers on the surface going about learning new information about the planet every day. One of those rovers is actually stuck in a location and, up until recently was acting as a stationary weather station. The other two rovers are still going about their daily tasks of scratching the surface to help us better understand what went on in the early history of Mars.
Lastly, the moon is looming large, or is it?
Well, I'd have to agree that the moon is looming large. Tonight, in fact, is an identified date in this last quarter of the year in which there is a phenomenon being described as a super moon. This is when the moon appears significantly larger and significantly brighter because it's at what's called perigee, its closest point to the Earth. Now, if we look at the moon's orbit, we find that every month there's a perigee. And if we look at a supermoon, we would have to describe it as a superlative that indicates that it would be that perigee that is the closest to Earth of any perigee. In fact, some are saying that tonight's perigee is the closest in 70 years. The way in which the stories are brought forth would make it seem as if the moon is going to be absolutely enormous, gigantic, and brilliant in the sky. There is a well-known optical illusion in which the full moon every month appears to be very large and relatively bright because when it's down close to the horizon, the mind, seeing it against objects of known size, explodes its size dramatically and makes it seem as if it's really gigantic. Yet if you were to measure its angular diameter as it rises, and then measure its angular diameter again when the moon is directly overhead, you would see that the measurement is the same.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.